Okay, we're starting here at the top of Kuf Samach Veramad Aleph. The Gemara left off with the statement of Rav Amram, Lefish Ein Lemidim Mishitach Rona, that we don't learn from the last line in the document. So now we want to know the source for this position of Rav Amram. Where did Avram know the fact that we do not put credence in the last line of the document, and we do a chazarah, we do some repetition within that last line to prevent any forgery or any addition of writing afterwards? Where does he get that idea from? So Amar Le Rav Nachman, the Rav Amram, Menalach. Where do you know this from? Amar Le, Detanya, we have a braisa. Hirchiket Eidim Shnei Shitim, if he leaves a gap of two lines between the Eidim and the end of the shtar, Pasul. Shitachat, if it's one line, Kasher, then it's good. What's the problem with two lines? Dilmim Zayif. What's the problem he's going to add in? We're worried about he's going to extend the shtar down. And then by extending the shtar down, he'll add in information or clauses into the shtar that weren't there before. And the Edim will be signed on it. So why can't he do the same thing? When there's one line left blank, how come he can't fill in information and then have that been included in the shtar? What's the difference between leaving a gap of two lines and a gap of one line? The answer is, must be that you can't learn from the last line. Therefore, if you leave a gap of one line, then you don't have a problem. Because even if he fills in information in that last line, that won't impact the shtar. Why won't it impact the shtar? Because that you don't learn anything from that last line. On the other hand, if he leaves two lines blank, then we worry about it because he'll fill in one line. And that'll be information that can be learned from. And then you'll put in the second line, which will be the shitach. Well, now will come the last line, repeat something from above. And that won't be learned from. So he'll be able to fill in two lines. One of them will be relevant or be able to have impact on the shtar, and the second won't. So that's what we worry about. So from here, I can show you that we don't worry about one line, and we do worry about two lines. That shows us that ein lemidim mishita achrona. That's how we know that you don't learn from the last line. Rashbam over here qualifies that this is all in a case where there's no sharir v'kayam, that he doesn't have some sort of indication at the end of the shtar by language, then we have to worry about shita achat or sheh shitot. If there's sharir v'kayam, then we don't have an issue anymore because that indicates the end of the document. He also points out here, the Rashbam, something that he's going to say again tomorrow, is that actually what happens if we have a document that comes before us and it doesn't have sharir v'kayam written in it, and there's edim, and there's a gap, there's a space, but there's a space, two spaces, two lines of space there. So we know there's no ziyuf over here because there's nothing written in between. No aid is going to sign a mile down the paper. I mean, two shidot, that's a reasonable amount. So now we know that nothing got added in afterwards, and it looks fine for us. The Rashbam says, nevertheless, this shtar is a chas b'balma. It's a piece of clay, meaning that it's worthless, the shtar, because he did not put the shtar together. Once the chachamim established that such a shtar is open to forgery or alteration. So because of that, they said any shtar that's written like that is pasul. So even though in this case we see that there is no ziyuf, there is no forgery over here, or there's no attempt to change the shtar, nevertheless it's pasul because he did not adhere to the rules that the chamim established, and therefore it'll be like a milveh al peh. Right now the Gemara continues. Ibailahu. I have a question here. Shita umech zamai. What happens with 1.5 spaces? Now, as Tosus points out here, the 1.5 spaces doesn't mean that he finishes the shtar on half a line, then he leaves the rest of that half line blank, and then skips a line, and then starts the edim. There's no question that it could be problematic, because then he can fill in whatever he wants at that end of that half line, and he'll still have room for a shita achrona. The question of the Gemara here is, if he leaves a shita nachat, the shtar ended on the end of a line, and he leaves 1.5 space of lines below that. I mean, that we've discussed below the shtar, the gap between the edim being 1, and we discussed it being 2. So in 2 it's pasul, 1 it's kasher. The Gemara wants to know, in the in-between case, 1.5, what's the din? So Gemara says, so with that, tashma. Hirchikat edim shnei shitim pasul. If you leave a gap of 2, it's pasul. Ha shita mechsa kasher. Implies from that 1.5 would be kasher. Well, I'm a safer. We can do the second half of the braisa. Shita achad kasher. Shita achad hu de kasher. Ha shita mechsa pasul. It says that 1 shita is good. 1.5 is no good. So now you can't say anything. Our braisa has no, you can't be medayik from the braisa, because we don't know if the ratio is dafka and the safer lav dafka. The safer is dafka and the ratio is lav dafka. So ela meha lek lamash memina. So we can't answer that question from the braisa. Ela, some my havi Allah. What's the din by Mechsa? Tashma the Tanya, we have a braisa. Hirchiket aidim shnei shitim minaktav pasul. If he distance it from the shtar, the end of the shtar, the aidim by two gap lines, then it's pasul. Pachot mikan kasher. Anything less than that is kasher. So from here we indicate that it's only once you reach the level of 2 lines is it problematic. Once you have 1.5 lines or anything below 2 lines, we're going to consider it kasher because we don't assume that he can squeeze in 2 lines in there. The whole problem is if he can get 2 lines in, because then he can make 1 line of relevant information and 1 line, which is the shita achrona, which is the repeat, which will be ignored. But as long as there is not enough space to repeat 2 lines, then we don't worry about it. So as long as it's less than the spacing of 2 lines, then we don't worry about this issue at all. Now, hayu arba v'chamisha edim chatumim al ashtar. There were 4 or 5 edim signed on ashtar. V'nimsa achad mehem karov upasol. One of them is considered a karov upasol. Then titkayem edut bishar. Then the remaining edim will be used to verify the document, and we'll ignore the edim that are psulim or krovim. This helps the position Chizkiyah, the Amar Chizkiyah, Mal'u b'krovim kasher. If he fills in it with krovim, it's kasher. V'altitama, isn't that a crazy thing? If he fills it in with krovim, why does that work? Sharei, avir sukkah posel b'shloshah. When it comes to a sukkah, it comes to schach, if you leave empty space between, for instance, the schach and the wall, so that you will not have a complete sukkah of 3 walls and a schach above, that gapping of 3 tfachim of airspace makes it as if the schach is not touching the wall. And therefore, that wall will not be included in the count for the sukkah. On the other hand, schach pasul, when it comes to schach pasul, posel b'arba, that if you filled in that space with schach pasul, it would be kasher. So then, if you leave it blank, right, it would be kasher. If you fill it in with edim sulim, then it will be fine. So that's comparable to sukkah. So let's explain what's happening over here. First of all, there's a machlokes about the girsa, or it's unclear about the girsa. The Rabbeinu Hananel has a girsa over here that says that only when the are rishonim. The Rashbam brings this geser. Gersay says, "Hachay gersina perishu benechanu. Hayu arba chamisha edim chatumim al ashtar. Benimse shneim rishonim krovim ol psulim. Titzkayim edut b'shtar." So first of all, the Rabbeinu Hananel says that it only relates to the first edim, the edim at the beginning of the signing list that are psulim. Do we say it's kasher? That's number one. Number two is the Rabbeinu Hananel brings 2 possibilities of what the Shita of Chizkiyah is premised on. One possibility or one issue here is exactly what we're discussing in our Gemara over here. Our Gemara is discussing about the Chalak, the empty space between the Shtar and the signing of the Edim. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to leave a space of Shtei Shitim from the point of the end of the Shtar down to the signing of the Edim. But if you fill in that space with Edim Sulim, if you fill in that space with Edim Sulim, then you're okay. Because Edim Psulim are not going to detract from the fact that this is a kosher star, and they're better than leaving the space blank. Why are they better than leaving the space blank? That's what the raya that we bring from the Gemara in Sukkah. By Gemara in Sukkah, it says that even though generally the airspace would cause a problem, 3 tefachim of airspace would cause a problem, nevertheless, when you put Tzchach Pasul there, it's okay. So it's over here. Just like the empty space in the star, because we're worried about ziyuf, we're worried about forgeries, that would be a problem. But if you fill in the space with edim, psulim, or krovim, then we're fine with that. Why? Because even though they don't uphold the document, nevertheless, they make it so there can't be a ziyuf over here. They make it to ensure us that there can't be a ziyuf. Why did they sign these edim, krovim, psulim here? They're not coming to testify. They're just coming to fill in the space. They're coming in to give them a kavod. So I'm saying that they should sign first. But that, they don't establish or they don't give veracity to the shtar. That's one way to learn, and that's the way that the Rishbam favors the Rabbeinu Hananel's understanding. The other way to learn is that Chizkiyah is premised on a position of Rabbi Akiva by Get Kereach. So over there, Rabbi Akiva says that when you sign with Edim, Psulim, if you fill in the extra Edim with Psulim or Krovim, over there it works. That's good enough. Now, based on that, if you think that the position of Chizkiyah derives from the a position of Rabbi Akiva, and you don't have the Girsa of Rishonim in the Brisa, then it would assume that the Edim are Kasher, whether they're in the beginning or end or in the middle of the signatures. Meaning the Krovim don't affect the signatures at all. So that's the way, actually, the Rabbeinu Tam thought. The Rabbeinu Tam says, I think that when you sign over here, or Chizkiyah's din says that it doesn't matter where the Krovim are found in the signature list. It doesn't matter if they're first, the middle, or at the end, they're going to be Kasher, or the Shtar will be kasher because they'll be left out, and we'll be mekayim the shtar with the rest. Rabbi Yehuda Gaon says no. says that there are two different dinim. We have a din by Rav Nachman. A din by Rav Nachman says, "Vaydinei mamonanos." If you have an aid pasul, an aid karov that's enjoined with the other aidim to come along, then we don't accept the eidut. The eidut is it falls apart. We don't say, "Oh, leave the karov out, leave the pasul out, and everything works." So how do you reconcile between that position of Rav Nachman and the din over here? So here the Gaon says, "Well, I'll explain it to you because when the talking about hilchot eidut, right? Then that's the din of Rav Nachman. By hilchot eidut, you can enjoin a karov or a pasul. Over here, this is a very specific case. This is where the karov and the pasul sign first, and when they sign first and they're filling in the empty space, we know that they're not coming to testify over here, but they're simply coming as a kavod to them to put them up front and to fill in that blank space. So in that instance, we say it's okay. So this will be a unique case, and we'll only be makshir, we only allow them to be kashir here, because they were found first in the line, and it's clear that it was done to give them a kavod and not to testify about the shtar. So that's the position of Rabbi Yehuda Gaon, which obviously Rabbeinu Tam argues on. The Re questioned Rabbeinu Tam's position. The Re says, wait a minute, we just said above that when it comes to being Mekayim Eshtar, we are Mekayim the shtar, we don't use the Edim Lamalu, we have a shtar that's written on an erased area. We said over there that when it comes to the edim in that instance, we only use the edim that are closest or on the same line as the document, but the edim below we do not verify with. But the implications from that gemara are that normally we would verify with only the edim lamato, only with the edim that are at the bottom. The lowest edim are the ones on the list, those are the ones that we verify with. If that's the case, then how could you have the psulim or the krovim be at the bottom of the list? And only if they were at the top of the list, then the bottom of the list is fine because they would be kasher. So Reed challenges the Rabbeinu Tam, and then it brings down in the Tosfot that the Rabbeinu Tam reversed his position. He was chozer bo from his position, then he agreed with Rabbi Yehuda Gaon. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda Gaon in the end that it's only when the Edim are signed first on the list of Edim that the Shtar is considered kasher. And then it'll turn out, no matter which way you read the Gemara, that when it says over here, whether it says the word Rishonim, or it does not say the word Rishonim, it does not matter. The order of the Edim, it must be that they are first, and not in the end, in order to reconcile with the position of Rav Nachman in other places. Because otherwise, you could have suggested, and this is what the Rabbeinu Tam suggests over here, is that the order is irrelevant. Even if you have the Lashon Rishonim, it was Lav Davka, but that they could be signed anywhere along the way. Ah, what's the difference between this and the case of Rav Nachman? Well, the case of Rav Nachman is about Edim showing up in court. When Edim come in and show up to court, we can ask them. We say, listen, are you coming to testify about this case, or are you just coming down to see something? To say we're coming to testify, they can be posel, the whole kat Edim. The karov and the pasul that are enjoined with these other Edim will ruin the whole kat. When it comes to signatures on a document, we have a principle that any shtar is kenechra edutam bebezdin. When you have a shtar with signatures on it, it's as if it was already clear through bezdin, and we don't ask anymore the Edim why they signed on it. We're going to assume that those Edim signed on it bitnai, or they signed on it very kabod, but they weren't signing it on for testimony. So because of that differentiation, then you could have suggested that when it comes to a shtar, it wouldn't matter that you can have karov and pasul, doesn't matter where they are in the shtar, that everything is kasher, because we ignore their signatures over here, because we assume that they were just coming to kabod. On the other hand, when it comes to testimony in court, where we have to check out the Edim, we're going to ask them. And that's where the Rav Nachman's din applies. But we see, because of the question of the Re, that the Rabbeinu Tam reversed his position, and he, like the Rabbi Yehuda Gaon, says that it's only when they're signed first on the document is it considered kasher, that the Krovim are ignored over here. So, in conclusion, now you'll have actually three different cases. You have a case according to Tosos where you have either oral testimony where someone is coming there, Karov and Pasul are clearly problematic because we can ask them what they're coming for. If they're coming to testify, they're going to ruin the Edut of everybody that's there. We have a second case by Shtarot, and Shtarot will break into two categories. There'll be Shtarot, for instance, like what we're talking about over here, where only when the Krovim are filled into that empty space, or they're the first one signed on, it will be okay. But if they are anywhere else in the list of Edim, then they will create a problem for the Edut. And then there'll be the last thing, which is Get Kereach, which is Rabbi Akiva's position over there, that Rabbi Akiva believes that even Psulim and Krovim work. They work, actually, Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and Benanas, whether Psulim work, but Krovim for sure work, and there the order does not matter. And the order doesn't matter, even at the end, middle, or the end, it will work. So what's different about Git Kareach? That's what Tosus concludes, that by Git Kareach it's different, because by Git Kareach we use all of them to create the Kiyum HaShtar. Because of the way it's written, because of the nature of the Shtar, we use all three Edim to Mekayim the Shtar. So if we're looking at all three Edim, then we know that if there's a Pasur Karov there, we can pull them out. On the other hand, in our case, by the Shtar, we only use the end Edim to be Mekayim the Shtar. And if we allow you to have a Karov at the end, and we're Mekayim the Shtar, people are going to come to think that there's no problem with Krovim Starim Shtarot. So there, we're not going to let it go through unless the Krovim are first, where it's obvious and clear that they're only signing there because of the Tnai or Kavod and the empty space to fill it in. Okay, we'll stop over here.